4. Don't worry, we'll get the offering later. Your pockets going to hold on to it just a little bit longer. But I felt like we just needed to jump right into the message this morning. The book of Ruth, one of those little books sort of toward the beginning of the Bible that we don't go to too much, but one of that has a familiar story to it and a beautiful story of our Redeemer. But you know, in today's world, you know, we're celebrating Mother's Day here and across, really across the world, but mainly in the U.S., but expectations on motherhood have never been higher. You know, moms have never been judged more closely or had more responsibilities than ever before. It was the responsibility of the mothers to stay at home and take care of the house, but now it's more expected of the mothers to join in the workforce and help bring home the bacon just like the man. And I'm not knocking one way or the other, but I'm saying that the responsibilities have grown stronger upon the mother than they used to be. We can look at TV and see what Hollywood thinks our mothers are to be, and I would encourage you to look elsewhere, unless you go back to, say, the 50s or 60s, and you look at Leave It to Beaver. And she was definitely a decent mother that you could look up to, but there are many on today's TV that's not worth looking at. And the value of a mom or a mom figure in a child's life has never been more important than today. And I want to go a step further and to say the value of a mother and a father has never been more important than is needed today. And this morning I want to share with you, the Lord being our helper, from the book of Ruth, about a realistic mother or mother-in-law that is needed today. In the book of Ruth, I want to begin reading down in chapter 4, verse number 13. Sort of closing out the book, and then we'll sort of try and wrap it all together, the Lord being our helper. In the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi," or the women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that we've just read. And dear Father, we thank you for the beautiful story of Naomi and Ruth and the kinsman redeemer of Boaz. And God, we pray that you would help us this morning as we try to proclaim your word. And dear Father, I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray, dear God, that you would speak through us this morning. And God, I pray that when we leave here this morning, that God, we can truly say that we worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it has been great to be in the Lord's house because we have felt His presence and we have known He is near. God, we pray if there's any lost under the sound of our voice, dear God, that you would stir within their heart, dear God, that you would break up that fallow ground and to be ready to receive Thy word. God, we pray that you bless her this morning. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, for it's in your mighty name, dear Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. This morning, the story of Ruth, and I know most of you here under the sound of my voice have heard the story of Ruth and Naomi, but I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to catch us up to where we're at in chapter 4 toward the end of the book. But familiar story of Naomi and Ruth and Orpah and Elimelech and their sons and Boaz. The famine was in the land, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, decided to go down into the land of Moab, where there was supposedly food, and to go live there for a while and to provide for his family. But unfortunately, this was going to be a costly mistake, because Elimelech ended up losing his life, and then their two sons, after they got married, they lost their lives down in the land of Moab. But Naomi, after all this had happened, I'm summing up pretty quick, she decided to step back and to go back to Judah, the land of her homeland, the land of her fathers. But in doing so, she encouraged her daughter-in-laws to go back to their house, to go back to your mother's house. There's no need for you to come with me. I can't bear you any more children, and you wouldn't wait for them to be your husbands, even if I did. So to go back home to where you were raised. And they both pushed to go with her at first. Ruth and Orpah both said they hugged her and they loved on her and they wanted
to go with her. But finally, Orpah decided to turn around and to go back home. But Ruth persisted, and she insisted on going with her, to the point that in verse number 16 of chapter 1, Ruth said, "Thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God." She was willing to give up all the other false gods that she had followed after, and she was willing to follow after Naomi, and to learn of Naomi, and to learn of her people, and to be one of theirs. And that spoke quite highly of Ruth, of Naomi, because she had definitely instilled something within Ruth, within her daughter-in-law, of a love for God and a love for her people. But now I want to give you a realistic mother that comes out of this picture. A realistic picture of a mother or mother-in-law. Number one, Naomi had followed her husband wherever he went. She was a faithful wife. She was a faithful mother to her sons. And she went with them. Even if Elimelech had a harebrained idea, and she still chose to go with him and support her husbands. Any of you wives done that for your husbands? Your husband had a harebrained idea and you chose to go with him and support him anyway? You may not have, but I'll raise my hand and say I have. And Shauna supported me even though she said, "I wouldn't do this, but if it's what you want to do, you go ahead." And I suffered the consequences. But she was there with me, and she went with me when I made some crazy ideas and crazy decisions. And Naomi went with Elimelech, even down to Moab, with him to support him. And even after losing her maid and her sons and her possessions and all that she had, I want to encourage you this morning that no matter how dark the day may be, the sun will shine again upon the children of God, because he says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." And he said, "I'll never leave you." Amen. And he didn't leave him, because you read there later on in verse number 6, when chapter 1, how that Naomi was going back to Judah. Why was she going back? Because the Bible said the Lord had chose to send them bread once again to his people. Today, we put too much pressure on our mothers. We put everything. We want them to be Wonder Woman, if you'll have that. I want to remind you, that is a fictitious character that was on TV and in comic books, and it's not real. And the responsibilities and the pressures that we put on our mothers, they should not be that way. And God never intended that. He never intended for his people to wander away from him either. Just as much as he's never intended for Elimelech and his sons and his wife to wander away from the land of Judah and from Bethlehem, he never intended that, but that's what they chose to do. And this was a realistic mother. And if we bring it to today's day and time, being completely honest, we know that our mothers and our fathers too, and us as well, that we're not perfect, that we're going to stray away, that we're going to say words that we wish we hadn't said, we're going to do things that we wish we hadn't done. That's just realistic. That's being real. But the point was, when she chose to come back, she chose to go back to the land where she was supposed to be. But what her mother taught her, or mother-in-law in this case, was the next thing that I want to share with you this morning. Naomi had taught Ruth many things. And if you were to step back this morning and look at just what your mother taught you, it could take up books and books of things that our parents and our mothers and our fathers have taught us. Number one, they taught us how to walk. Now, number two, they taught us how to talk, although I think tradition bears out and history bears out that they tend to say dad before they say mother. I'll get that in a minute. The little ones, you know, they say dad before they say mama, in most cases. But they taught us how to walk. They taught us how to talk. They even, many cases, they begin to teach us how to read and to write before we even get into school. Either with magnetic letters or reading the books to us. I mean, all kinds of things that our mothers teach us. Why, Shauna, even teaching today, taught Hannah Jacob how to make her pancakes for breakfast. And they did a good job, from what I understand. I didn't get none of it. Shauna got all of it. But she was still teaching them. And I believe many of you that are older and your kids are out of the house, I would assume that teaching and loving on your children, it does not stop. Can I get an amen? So the teaching phase and the loving phase, it never ends. So Hannah Jacob, when you get out of the house, we're still going to be trying to encourage you and teach you and always loving you. But the love of a mother the things that a mother will teach us. And I know that she must have taught Naomi many things as you read through the story of Ruth. And it's not a very long story. And I encourage you to go back and to read it this afternoon or this evening and sort of fill in the gaps, because I'm not going to be able to cover all of it. But she taught Ruth where to go to glean in the field. She taught her what to say when she got there and even who to talk to. And don't you remember as a child how your mother would tell you, don't talk to strangers. Don't go to places you ought not to go, and go to places that you should go, and all these things that our mothers taught her taught us. And Naomi was teaching this to Ruth, even as an adult, and it's much the same today, in today's day and time. Our mothers can be some of our greatest teachers. But look at verse, turn with me over to chapter number 3, verse number 1. This is the greatest thing that Naomi wanted to teach Ruth. The greatest thing that any mother can teach their child or grandchild or someone that they have adopted as a child. In chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" You see, she desired most to teach Ruth of a redeemer. She desired most to teach Ruth of someone that could redeem her, that could provide for her the greatest needs that she would ever need. And as you look through this, she wanted to point her to redemption. And can there be any greater need than for our children to be saved and have that relationship with God and with Jesus Christ? I know we want them to learn math and science and all that, and that's all good. But redemption and salvation, there is no greater need. And Naomi wanted to share this with her daughter-in-law. She said, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Jesus is the true Redeemer that gives us true rest, and that it will truly be well with thee. All the things that the world has to offer gives you sort of a false hope, a false rest, and a false wellness. But not with Christ. And I can't help but imagine as Naomi was there with Ruth, and they come back to their homeland, and as Naomi would send Ruth out and encourage her to go to the right places to glean in the harvest at the right time with the right people. And even as you read the story, how Boaz is already starting to take notice of Ruth, I can't help but imagine, and I'm imagining here, that Naomi was praying for Ruth, praying for her protection, praying for her safety and her prosperity, that she would do well, because she was helping Naomi to eat and to survive as well. And they're praying that she would come back safely. But here she's praying something a little further. How many of you mothers prayed for your children that they would be saved? How many fathers prayed for your children that they would be saved? How many of you mothers and fathers and grandparents bowed on your knees when your children got saved and you prayed with them that they would get saved? Oh, I can't help but believe that Naomi was praying for Ruth as she sent Ruth out, and she told her where to go, exactly what to do when she got there at the foot of Boaz's bed, and to how to do it, and even what to say. I can remember on the day that I got saved, before we went to church that night, I had been thinking about salvation, and I even asked Dad, Brother Lloyd, I said, "Dad, I don't even know what to say. What does somebody say when they want to get saved?" And you know, he told me what to say and how to pray, and I sort of put that back in the back of my mind, and that night the Lord began to deal with me as Dad was preaching with a flashlight behind his head because the lights were out, and as he preached, the Lord began to deal with me, conviction began to set on me. And I knew that I needed to be saved that night. And I went to the altar, and I knew what to say, and I knew how to pray, because somebody had taught me and showed me. Naomi was wanting this for Ruth, and she had taught her what to say, even how to do it, and where to lay it and whatnot, exactly what to do. She was preparing her to meet her Redeemer. And as she got there, and she went and she lay at the foot of Boaz's bed, and a tradition that, of course, we don't do today, but as she got there and she met her Redeemer, I believe that as she was meeting her Redeemer, I still believe that Naomi was praying fervently for Ruth, because it wasn't going to just affect Ruth, it was going to have an impact upon Naomi as well. And as we know, as tradition and as history bears out, it affected the whole wide world. The
because of what she did. But what a mother taught me. But lastly, the marks of a mother. You know, she had some rough times. Naomi did. She had some rebellious times with her husband. The sinful rebellion with her husband. She had some solemn retribution, some payback. She lost her husband, lost her sons. But then the Lord graced her and she had some spiritual renewal and her joy was returning to her. Those are marks of a mother. We all can't be June Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver, if that was her name. And it'd be so perfect. It looks so perfect on TV. And we can't do that. And none of us should expect to be that. But she became, as we read and you're hearing the last part, as her joy was returned, even in verse number 16 of chapter 4, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and she became nursing to it. I've watched some of your grandmothers on how those babies, you can't take the mother out of a mother. Even when they become grandmother and great-grandmother, you still want to ooh and ah over the baby and just cuddle it. It's a baby. Here, you can have it back. And I'm not saying that to be ugly, but it'll probably change when I have grandchildren and so forth, but my kids are a little too old to cuddle up anymore. But the marks of a mother, Solomon put it so much better than I could ever put it. In Proverbs chapter 31, I'll read you the last few verses of chapter 31, beginning in verse number 27. These are some signs of the mother. She said, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." And I like that. That verse number 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I've watched a lot of women as they've got an older try to still hang out with the teenagers and act like the teenagers and be like the teenagers. Let me just let you know, you're not a teenager anymore. But to remind you, as Solomon said, that a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The looks and all that, yeah, that'll fade away. But our worship and our service to the Lord, it'll never fade. And I guarantee you, as Solomon said, you'll be praised for that. I'd much rather be praised for my work for the Lord than my appearance and what I look like. And I would hope that we would all be like that. Now, there's nothing wrong, and I just want to go out on a limb. There's nothing wrong with putting on a little makeup. There's some that take it from one extreme to the other. Some put way too much. Some don't put quite enough. And I'll just leave it to that. But as Solomon said, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. True beauty comes in following the Lord and serving Him. And that's where that praise, the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And it's so true. But now I want to get to this. Back over in Ruth, chapter number 2. Our mothers and our fathers are great. And today we honor and we celebrate what our mothers have done and what they mean to us. And again, I commend everyone that brought the flowers in this morning. They truly are beautiful in honor and commemoration of our mothers and to those who have been mothers to us. But I want to speak to you this morning of one that's much greater than a mother, and that would be a Redeemer. In chapter 2, verse number 10, listen to what the Bible says. It says, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" You see, Boaz was, as we read the story of Ruth and Naomi, we read the story how that Boaz became her kinsman redeemer, how that he redeemed her. And Boaz, he had waited for his bride. We don't know of the age of Boaz, but I sort of get the impression he was probably a little bit older than Ruth. But he waited for love, he waited for his bride, and there had probably been plenty of opportunities for Boaz to accept. And as you gather, he had servants, he had handmaids, and all this. I would gather that Boaz was probably a wealthy man.
And there was probably plenty that would love to have been Boaz's wife, but it didn't happen yet. Boaz was waiting for true love, but here Ruth comes before him as he begins to take notice of her, and as he even tells the men how to treat her and how to respond to her and to sort of watch out for her. But then Ruth begins to notice, and she says, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that you should even notice or take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger?" Each and every one of us, under the sound of my voice, can say those exact same words to Jesus Christ. "Why, my Lord, have you found grace upon me? Oh, why have you showered me with your love and your mercy when I am but a stranger?" And we all are in the eyes of God before we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We're but a stranger. But why? Especially after you look at verse number 11. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done." I want to remind you this morning that the Lord knows everything that you've done. And yet He still gives grace and mercy. He still wants to be that Redeemer. And He will be if you'll but let Him. And He's still willing to show that even to a stranger. And if you look over in chapter 3, verse number 11, after Ruth had laid at the feet of Boaz and trying to seal that deal with the Redeemer, in verse chapter 3, verse number 11, listen to what he said. He said, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." She required redemption. As a lost man, woman, boy, or girl, you require redemption before a holy God. There is no ands, ifs, or buts. You have to be redeemed. And that's what he was wanting to do for Ruth and eventually for Naomi as well. And eventually for the whole world as a type of Christ. You must be saved. You must be redeemed. And Christ is that Redeemer. Boaz was the Redeemer for Ruth. But Christ is, oh, so much better. But I like how, I love how Naomi told her daughter-in-law what to do. In the end of chapter number 3, verse number 18, "Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Every time Jesus walked upon the shore of the Sea of Galilee, every time he walked up the Mount of Olives, every time he walked through Bethlehem and Jerusalem, every time he walked, he did not rest until he got all the way to the cross. And then he said, "It is finished." Not once did he sit down on his side and say, "No, what, Brother Owen, I think I'm done. I think they can figure out the rest of it on their own. Let them have at it. Let them figure it out. Let them see if they can abide by the law, the multitudes of law and commands that I've given to them. Let them see if they can save themselves." Let me remind you, not a one of us can do that. Jesus was the only one that can say, "It is finished. I have completed the work that my Father has sent me." He truly is that Redeemer, and that is Christ. To sum it up, Amalek, he reaped what he sowed out of the flesh, and he reaped corruption. Mahlon and Chilion, the sins of the father and the personal accountability, they chose to do as they did, and they reaped it as well. Boaz, true love waits. My friend Christ, he's been waiting this morning, maybe for a long time, for you to come back. Maybe for you to come to Him for the first time. True love is still waiting. Ruth, God's grace is sufficient. And it truly is. Why have I found grace? But lastly, and definitely not least, Orpah. God will not always strive with man. There is a limit that you can push with God. And you say, that's enough. As a child of God, it can be to the point, and some may disagree with this, it may be to the point that God calls you home early. And so that's enough. And then it could also be to the point, you read in Romans, of where He let them over to themselves. Okay, you want to do it your way? Do it your way. And you'll suffer the consequences. God will not always strive with man. But always, as the epistles read, I believe it was Peter said that God is not slack concerning His long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to
He wants you to be saved. Boaz wanted to be that redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. But as the story goes, there was one that stood in the way. The other kinsman redeemer. And he decided that it wasn't worth it. That he didn't want to have that responsibility. I want to remind you this morning, Jesus decided that you are worth it. That you were worth him going to the cross and dying and shedding every drop of blood that you could be saved. Jesus decided, determined, Brother Virgil, that Virgil, you're worth it for me to go and die on the cross. You're worth me shedding my blood and being mocked and ridiculed and beaten in front of all mankind. You're worth it this morning. And I'll be that redeemer. That's what Jesus said. You're worth it this morning. I don't know anybody's heart here this morning. Brother Clinton and the musicians, if you'll come at this time.
There's an old song that goes, and we've sung it many times. Careless soul, why will you linger? Wandering far from the fold of God, hear ye not the invitation, no prepare to meet thy God. And then it goes on, it says, oh, heed the warning for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Orpah walked off and left. Ruth chose to stay with Naomi and follow after her, and eventually met her Redeemer. I don't know if you're walking far off this morning or not. I don't know if you've ever come to the Lord or not for the first time. But I want to encourage you this morning. Will you not come to the Lord? Will you not come and just meet and talk with the Lord? And I can testify that there would be no greater honor for a mother to see her child or her grandchildren praying and crying out to God. I tell you, I walked up to Jacob's bedroom a few weeks ago, and I walked up, and he just blessed my soul when I walked up and saw him studying his Bible. I can't tell you how that thrilled my heart, and I've told him this already. But it would do nothing greater to do that for your mother this morning, but to come back to the Lord if you need to this day. Brother Clinton, what's your number?
Ram book number 94.
Let's all stand. The altar's open. We need to move some flowers, we'll be glad to, so you'll have room to pray.
Thank you.